The Italian Wine Podcast is the community-driven platform for Italian wine geeks around the world. Support the show by donating at italianwinepodcast.com. Donate 5 or more euros and we'll send you a copy of our latest book, My Italian Grape Geek Journal, absolutely free. To get your free copy of My Italian Grape Geek Journal, click support us at italianwinepodcast.com or wherever you get your pods. Grazie mille.
Welcome to another episode of On the Road Edition, hosted by Stevie Kim. Each week, she travels to incredible wine destinations, interviewing some of the Italian wine scene's most interesting personalities, talking about wines, the foods, as well as the incredible travel destinations.
Okay, hello everyone, my name's Stevie Kim, and welcome to the Italian Wine Podcast, Insta Live. On the road edition, not so on the road because I'm in Verona, and this is the Living the Loca. Oops, I don't see Jeff though. Living the, not Loca, Dolce Vita, which Jeff Porta. What we do usually is to understand if Jeff is doing okay. Basically, he's moved to Torino and we've been trying to touch base every week, once a week. So as you know, I was in New York for the past couple of weeks. I'm finally back. I got back yesterday. I'm slightly jet-lagged, so be a little bit patient with me. Hey, Jeff.
Hello.
Yeah, we're back.
How's it going?
Yeah, I'm back. I got back yesterday. Luckily, I survived the strike once again.
Oh, know, right? Sorry about that.
And it's okay, but I'm back and everything's back to normal. How are you?
Back in Torino.
E come va? Tutto bene?
Sì, tutto bene, ma mi scuola molto difficile.
Everyone loves it when you start, you know, speaking Italian beginning. So actually, Manuela just wrote me a promemoria. Do you know what that is?
Promemoria? No, I don't. That's a new word.
Yeah, promemoria. Promemoria. Memory.
Promemoria. See?
So that's a reminder. Promemoria. Ah. Masterclass Jeff, parentheses, open. Si. Vini dash abstract, close parentheses, Monday, April 15th, 2:45 p.m.
2:45.
Yeah. So that's...
It's a reminder.
Yeah, that's for Vinitaly, babe.
Oh, yeah. That's when I'm doing it. Yeah.
Okay, so
yeah,
we need, Manuela needs your wine list.
Yes, I'm working on that with some producers.
Yeah, and an abstract.
Got it.
Okay, sooner we get it, the more we can promote. Okay, so that's
perfect.
That's the promemoria. You've
that's what I was going to ask you. Do you have any contacts, and maybe through this we can, at Bel Colle, the Prosecco? I wanted to use their Colfundo, but I don't have their information.
Bel Colle?
Yeah, I think that's what
Let
it's called.
Let me look it up. Let me see. I've never heard of it. Bel, one L?
Mm-hmm. One L.
One word or two words? A Bel Colle.
Two words.
Okay. We can reach out to them on your behalf if you want. Which wine did you
get? Yeah, their Colfondo Prosecco.
Okay.
It's delicious wine. Okay. I'm a big fan
All
of
right.
it. And
so
it fits
see,
into the Refermentato.
Julia had just joined us. Julia, it's on you. You have to look for Bel Colle. Okay, il nostro lavoro, la nostra passione. Okay, so we'll take care of that for you.
Grazie. I mean, I just got back from Lambrusco country, and I met with this really... There's like two cool groups happening. One's within the consortia, one's without outside the consortia. Within the consortia, they're bringing all these young producers and people who work in the wineries together. It's like this under like 40 group called the Giovane de Lambrusco or something like that. And I got to talk to them a lot. And then there's this other group of kind of more like hardcore, you know, super Vecchio old style, Vecchio Scuola, old school producers who are creating this, like, they're doing this roadshow of all these, of their Prosecco, or not Prosecco, their Lambrusco, and
talking about... Prosecco, they might be a little bit offended.
just like really focused on Refermentato and kind of what we're going to talk about in the seminar about what Refermentato is, because it is interesting. It is not method ancestrale. It's a different process.
What's the difference? I mean, there are a lot of geeks out there. Brian Larkey says, smile, it's bubbly.
It is bubbly, exactly. That's what I mean, the thing after being a week in Lambrusco, I think it's one of my favorite places on earth now because you can drink a shit ton of it. And just so delicious, and there's so many different colors of it. It's just sober. A fun wine.
At the end of the day, right?
For the most part, for the most part.
So but, what is so, the difference? Okay. Let's do a small, like, you know, geeky lesson here.
So from my under...
What's the diferenza?
Que diferenza? If you think, so method ancestrale is primary fermentation begins in a vessel, right? Let's say it's a concrete tank. And before primary fermentation is done, you bottle it. So there's really only one fermentation. Mm-hmm. So that's method ancestrale. And this is after like talking to like 10 different people about this. And then rifermentato is in a line with methodo classico. So there's two fermentations. So one fermentation is in the tank, and then you would do another fermentation in the bottle, but you never disgorge it. And the biggest difference between methodo classico and this is they're only going up to 2.5 atmospheres. So the must, usually they add a little must, and if they don't do that, it may be some like grape sugar. The process starts again within the bottle, keeping it at a low pressure. 2.5 atmospheres is the maximum. Some people go a little higher. They said sometimes they cheat it. They want it frizzante. What would happen in the old timers is they do the fermentation. There'd be some sugar left in the tank, like 10 grams per liter. Then you put it in the bottle, you put the crown cap on it, and you put it next to your warmer, your heater in your house. And a month later, you'd have re-fermentato.
But that's basically the old school. Do you disgorge it?
No. Traditionally, you don't. There are some people that do disgorge it.
Otherwise, there's no disgorgement.
Exactly. Just with a, it would be like below Settin, you know, in Lambrusco, in a Franciacorta, in its pressure.
So, and what is the difference in terms of taste? Exactly something between Metodo Classico and Ancestrale?
Yeah, it is. It is.
Seems to be the most logical place, right?
It's kind of in between. Some method Ancestrale, because they bottle it in that fermentation when sugar may be high, it could have a higher pressure. So like the amount of sugar used in the re-fermentation of re-fermentato is just, it's lower. So it's not as bubbly, since you get the fizzy funness of the frizzante, depending on when you have it. So like we tried some aged re-fermentato, and it's kind of like Lee's aging. It's like having like Bollinger RD, right? It's before it's disgorged. So you've got this like long Lee's aging, and you get that different sensation on the palate from that.
So again, disgorging, right?
Exactly. No disgorging. And you drink the schmutz.
Yeah. I'm not a big fan of the schmutz.
You don't have to drink the schmutz.
We have to explain to the Italians and the rest of the world what a schmutz is.
The schmutz is all the stuff at the bottom of the bottle.
Listen, I just wanted to tell you that we have 12 new Italian wine ambassadors.
I saw. I was a few of my friends passed. I was very excited for them.
Who's your friend? You have friends?
I have a few friends. Yeah, Marco, who works for Brian Larkey.
Yes,
at Dalaterra.
Albanese. Brilliant.
He passed. Love that guy.
You know when you get a class, and you see from the get go, I'm like, he's going to pass. She's going to fail. He's going to pass. You know, she's going to. You know, you kind of. And he was definitely on my. He's going to pass.
He and I used to work together at the restaurants. He was the wine director of this restaurant called Oto.
Oh, okay.
And used to live quite near us. And he's a Montreal Canadian Italian.
Yes.
Who now lives in Brooklyn.
Yeah, he was and he was always so attentive, very low key, but you knew he knew his shit, you know.
So yeah.
It was great. Brian says, "Grande Marco."
He's one of the nicest human beings on earth, too.
Yeah. Who else did you know?
To be honest, I drank so much last night, I can barely remember anything. It's been a rough day today.
So I'll give you the names. Brittany Tangora. I don't know if you know her. Maurizio Piccinini d'Anchiaro. He's from actually Brazil. He came to Wine to Wine. He fell in love with the community. He did the course. He came all the way from Brazil.
Oh, that's awesome.
But our best student, actually, was Mihai Popescu. He's Romanian. He was the best.
Yeah.
He was the top student.
That's amazing.
And so
congratulations.
As of the flagship, we have every year like kind of a sponsor for the top student. And he got this Gero Bauman from Sette Ponti, because they sponsored the pinning ceremony and the top student award. So he got that. Not a bad deal, like a huge Gero Baum.
That's pretty awesome. Did you do the ceremony at Grand Central?
Yeah.
So beautiful.
It's so iconic. It's absolutely, I hadn't been there in squillions of years. The only problem is that because it's almost like a public space, I mean, it is not almost, it is public space, they don't allow you to use it like, you know, AV, right?
Right.
So we couldn't, we had a mic set up and a huge ass television set, but they couldn't allow us to use the mic.
Oh.
Because they said someone's going to jail. And I was like, I'm not going to jail. So we were kind of negotiating who's going to go to jail, right? So in the end, we didn't use the mic. And I lost my voice by the end of the day. And I was screaming and nobody heard me. Except you know, we did the Facebook Live and I guess they heard
me. Right.
So, and you might know her actually, Melissa Graf.
Yeah, I know her. Yeah, she passed.
Yeah, she's brilliant. She works for Skernig. Matthew Rossita. Xin Feng, this is a very funny story I have to tell you. So Xin Feng, he is Chinese, like he's not a wine professional. He's originally from, I guess, the you know, the Silicon Valley. He moved to New York and he participated in this 2 years ago, the New York edition. So he comes to the exam and the first part of the exam, you don't know this, but the first part of the exam is you need a computer because everything's online. He comes, he's like the computer geek of this world. He shows up without a computer. You know? So I did end up giving him my laptop and he failed. And so he retook it and he was one of the best students right after Mihai. So he gave me so much satisfaction. He really wanted to, you know, be part of the community. As you know, it's very tight, the community you have. You were the old edition, but like, you know, it's the program has evolved. It's much more WSET, you know, more standardized.
Right.
And it's absolutely fantastic. Then Par Hardy, Alice Barrera, Alex Banville, who's, as you know, I was like, this is going to be so embarrassing because Banville was the, of course, our venue
sponsor.
Yeah, they were partnering our venue. So I was like, it's going to be very, how am I going to tell Leah if he fails the course, you know? He was on the cusp, but he passed it on his own because now your name is not on the test when you take the test. So when Sarah mocks it, it's actually a number and you're anonymous.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Because she's like very, you know, fair and square about it.
Right,
so
yeah.
We changed the entire system. So there was absolutely no favoritism and he passed, thank goodness. And then
that's awesome.
Stacey O'Donnell and Stephanie Johnson.
Oh, nice. I saw that she was
that
there.
That was
awesome.
Amazing because
her.
Stephanie actually, it got kind of lost because I had asked her to audit the course. I didn't really think she was going to take the exam. She's like, I want to do the exam. But no one told her about the audio bit. There's a video presentation in a group.
Mm-hmm.
And that's 10% of your grade, which is, and most people are gifted, you know, nearly 10%, 10 points. And she passed without the video because nobody told her she had to do a video.
Oh.
So I was like, oh, that'll be embarrassing if she doesn't pass because she didn't do the video. But
right.
Luckily she passed and congratulations to all of them because they've, of course, worked very hard and I'm pretty psyched.
Are you enjoying this podcast? Don't forget to visit our YouTube channel, Mama Jumbo Shrimp, for fascinating videos covering Stevie Kim and her travels across Italy and beyond, meeting winemakers, eating local foods, and taking in the scenery. Now, back to the show.
So for those that don't know that are watching, so how does one like get the information to start studying? How do you get involved? What are those things? Because I know there's a new book.
Yeah, there's a new book and it was community generated. So a lot of the ambassadors from community at large, they revised the original book, which are the grape entries. But there is a huge geeky section with, of course, Attilio Scienza. He's the vine geneticist. And I always say, you know, that if he spoke English, he did everything in English, he would be more famous than Janssens Robinson. So if you look at Janssens's book, a lot of the things are from his references as well.
His work.
But the only problem is, one, he doesn't speak English, but he doesn't really, he has his own language. We call Scienza, you know, and it's, so you have to translate Scienza into Italian and then from Italian
and then into English.
It's like a two-stop process. So it's, at times it's difficult to navigate, but he, of course, is a big big guidance for are the geeky, the anthropology, the geology, the culture, the history, all that bit. He gives us that, you know, input and guide us through the course. Then, Sarah, you know, we have a special tasting grid for the Italian wines, you know, because of the texture and the phenolic bit of it, especially for the white wines. So we have that. And they have, it's basically like the diploma program, right? So there's two blind tasting, two essays, one video project, and then 100 multiple choice. So the entire exam is 2.5 hours. So it's quite long. And and it's just been getting, you know, I think, I hope better, because thanks to the, you know, the feedback we get from the community. So, if
that's,
they want
awesome.
Any information, all they have to do is go on vinitaly.com, and, you know, we're all over the net, as you know. So
right.
We are now, we were 346, so plus 12, that makes 358. Certified
wow.
Italian wine ambassadors.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and 1,300 people have gone through the program. So yeah, we love it, and the community is growing. So what are your some travels before Vinitaly?
I am going to Venice on Friday, and then I'll be there with my dad and stepmom. They're coming out for just the weekend with my wife and kid. And then on Monday, I'm going to Slave for 4 days to do some tasting and some research.
Oh, you should pop by.
Unfortunately, I don't have my car.
Oh, okay.
But I'll always tight time, but I'll be back in Verona.
We should do the Insta Live.
Oh, that'd be fun. Oh, like at Vinitaly. Could we do that at Vinitaly on that Monday?
Yeah, I don't know, because like Vinitaly is crazy, but we'll think about it. Yeah.
I'll figure it out.
Yeah.
And then there's Venice, and then I'm home, and then I'll go to Tortona, which is the Colli Tortonese, to do some stuff with Timorasso and the D'Artona group.
Yeah.
And then the next week I'm going to Gavi. I've never been to Gavi, so I'm going to go check that out. Then it's like 2 days later, I'm going to go to Chirea to the Vini Berry show, and then Vinitaly. And then I got to go back to the States.
On a scale of 1 to 10, like where are you in terms of your love for like, quote unquote, the natural one?
I mean, it's hard because like, where's the definition, right? Like
right.
Right. I'm a 10 for 10 on conscious wines. And what I consider conscious wines are wines that where the grower is doing minimal input into the soil, minimal input output, right? Like
right.
I less is more. And I'm looking at this, the total sustainability of the project. What are they doing for the environment? What are they doing for the people that work for them? What are they doing for their community? That I'm 10 for 10 on, you know, just being a conscious person within what you're doing. So those winemakers, I'm all over. And then, you know, if it's I like macerated wine. I won't lie. I dig it. I had a really good macerated wine in Milan on Saturday from Poderi Laripe, which is they farm biodynamically and do some really cool things in Montalcino. I span the spectrum. If it's good, I like it.
So I have another question for you. It's a slightly related. Have you been to Levin Matt since they've converted to?
I have.
And
I went last year.
Okay. So what do you think about, you know, vegan meals and pairing it with red wines?
We had some dishes that I thought went really, really well, because like if you do mushroom and like cabbage, and there's a lot of umami flavors you can bring in too with different elements of seasoning and spice that I think works. We had this like smoked cabbage thing that was just like an umami bomb that went really well with the red wine that it was paired with.
Yeah, I mean, it was my first experience since, you know, it converted.
Mm-hmm.
There was a group of us. And it was very, definitely, I love the mushroom thing that they do. I thought it was very, very nice. I thought it was less compelling with, you know, other dishes. You know, I've never had, actually, this was my first complete 100% vegan meal, you know, and I think definitely talking about trends, I think this is one of the trends. And of course, you know, they are the pioneers of, you know, all trends. So the fact that they can still survive, you know, based on a vegan menu.
Right.
But I did, however, like, you know, afterwards, I would have loved to have had like a piece of like real meat or
fish. You know, I felt like, you know, so I probably could never become a vegan myself, but
no,
it was
me
a definitely
either.
Interesting experience.
Did you have the avocado dish that has those Japanese pine? They kind of look like quinoa, but they're not. They look, it's like the, it's kind of supposed to look like caviar.
No.
And it's this really beautiful avocado, and it was like in the middle.
But I did have something that's similar of like vegan caviar. I can't remember what vegetable it was, but no avocado.
Because when I went there, I was like, oh, this is where all the good avocados in New York go. Because, like, you know, avocados are shit in most of the grocery stores.
What are some of the other vegan restaurants in New York City?
There used to be a place called Dirt Candy, and I don't know if it's open anymore.
Dirt Candy?
Place was, yeah, I'd been there once, and it was really delicious. In my head, I can't remember if it was vegan or just vegetarian, but it was delicious. I went to a vegetarian restaurant in Sicily,
and
I didn't know it was vegetarian until I left.
Oh.
That's crazy. I didn't even think about it. That's how good the food was. I will put it up when this goes
into the comment section.
It was a one-star Michelin restaurant in Sicily on the eastern coast. I had no idea, and I was like, man, this was so good. My friend who went with me is like, did you notice there was no meat or fish or anything? I was like, I had no idea.
Yeah, you know, that's a good idea, actually. We can start like compiling like the best vegan restaurants.
Yeah.
So we'll ask everyone to join us and, you know, put in the comment section the best vegan restaurants that they can think of.
Vegan's hard. Like right here in Italy, I met my first Italian vegan. She's Italian and she's vegan. And I talked to her about it. We were in Modena, which I have no, and I asked her, I was like, how do you do it?
Yeah, she's how
like,
can you be vegan at Modena?
She was like, if I go out to dinner, I have to eat cheese or something with eggs in it. She's like, you just can't, there's no restaurant you can go out to vegan. She said there are two vegan restaurants in Modena, but like not all of her friends like going there. So she has to make a compromise on that. But she tries to live her life like 90% vegan. But I've been thinking about that living here. Being vegetarian, you can do. But being vegan, like here in northern Piedmont, like all the pasta is egg in it, right?
Yeah, and
there's
and
no
butter, you know, like,
right. That's
you know,
all we
so,
got.
Like, yep. So I think lots of fat. So I'm not sure. It's not easy. My daughter is vegetarian, but there were two vegans at the office. Like instead of like pulled pork, they would do jackfruit, which was very
right. Yeah, that's. I like that.
Yeah,
I like
we
that
learned
a
lot about vegan recipes, you know, while they were at the office. But no more vegans at the office.
Yeah.
No problema.
Non
c'è problema.
Si,
no,
esatto.
Non c'è problema.
Esatto.
Okay.
J-A-C-K-E. I've been playing with those verbs recently.
Okay.
There is.
Ci sono, c'è. And then ce n'è.
Oh, God. I can't add any more right now.
Okay. All right. How is it going, though, your Italian? Do you feel like you are actually improving?
Yes and no. I'm a little frustrated right now because it's gotten a lot harder. When I'm out and about, like I use my Italian and I can get what I need. And the thing that I'm doing now is adding the proper things that I miss, like articles, you know, conjugating verbs more proficiently.
Right.
You know, it's small steps. Like,
what about like conjunctives?
But it's. I'm not there yet, but I understand people better.
Right.
Like I can really understand a conversation that's in Italian. I just have a hard time responding.
So you're going back to stateside because of the Barolo Barbaresco thing?
No, I'm not going back to the States until April 28th.
Oh, okay. And then are you coming back?
Chianti Classico. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I'm only going there for a few days.
Oh, okay.
No, we're staying here until September.
All right. Okay, we have a lot more Insta Lives to do, if you can last.
There's a lot.
Listen, Jeff, I get a jet because I have shit to do, and it's my first day back. But remember,
yeah,
I just want to remind everybody that we have changed our slot to Monday, 6 p.m. Central European Time. Okay, so don't forget to put in the comment section your favorite vegan restaurants, and maybe we'll, you know, do a blog or we'll compile a list.
All over the world, yeah.
Yes,
let's put them in there.
All over the world, okay? Alla prossima.
Buona notte. Arrivederci. Ciao.
Buona serata.
Buona serata. Buona serata, yeah.
Okay. Ciao, Jeff.
Ciao. Arrivederci.
Thank you for joining us on another installment of On the Road Edition, hosted by Stevie Kim. Join her again next week for more interesting content in the Italian wine scene. You can also find us at ItalianWinePodcast.com or wherever you get your pods. You can also check out our YouTube channel, Mama Jumbo Shrimp, to watch these interviews and the footage captured of each location. Cin cin!